Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready to go? Beeb said he was born ready, son.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And we got a great show for you tonight. And if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury number 3. Hey, listen, man, what else is there? Nothing. This is the big news today, next week, and probably the week after. So there you go. First, we're going to get started with the action across the pond. That's right. Chris Eubank Jr. had a fight this weekend. Except, no, he didn't. He had a fight scheduled this weekend. Apparently, his guy pulled out, failed a physical. I think they tried to get a replacement in there. That didn't work out either. I think his first guy had COVID, and then the second guy failed a physical. Listen, either way, Eubank didn't fight this weekend. That card went off, I guess, that card went off, and they had fights on there. I didn't really pay attention to them because Eubank wasn't on it, so I didn't really care, you know. The co-main wasn't that great. It was promoted to main. Who cares? So Chris Eubank looking to fight here in a couple months. He wants to fight, I believe, in November again. He wants to try to get this going and fight sometime this year, so hopefully. Some celebrity fights to talk about. Lamar Odom beat somebody. He was supposed to face Riddick Bowe last night, and that didn't happen. He fought. I don't know who he fought. I don't know. The guy he fought, his claim to fame was being J-Lo's ex or something like that. But Paulie Malignaggi, a name everybody will recognize, fought last night. He fought some TikTok guy, some guy from TikTok, I guess. Steve, do you know who this is? Corey?
Yeah, some TikToker or media, social media personality. What happened was Paulie Malignaggi was covering another celebrity event, and he was the commentator of that event. Guy came up from behind and slapped like some powder on Malignaggi's head and challenged him to a fight. So
wow.
I don't know if that whole thing was staged or not, but lo and behold, here we have the Malignaggi versus Mr. TikTok Man.
Well, Mr. TikTok Man lost last night, but he lost by decision. I mean, they said Paulie Malignaggi is a lot faster, which everybody expected. Paulie should have won that fight. But apparently took him the entire distance, man, and won a unanimous decision. So
he probably carried him.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe, I don't know. You'd think that Paulie should be able to knock out somebody who hasn't fought, right? I mean, you would.
Yeah, but once again, it's an exhibition, so you don't know what the intent is of Paulie Malignaggi there. You don't know if he wants to carry him or not, but.
Notorious BC, thank you so much. He says, can you guys talk about the big fight? Ted Cheeseman fights this weekend. We will get to that for sure. We will absolutely get to that. I know he's your guy. I know he's your man crush, and we will absolutely get to Ted Cheeseman before the night's out. So let's talk about the upcoming fights here. They're coming up this weekend. That was all the weekend's action. I mean, this was like nothing. There was
nothing going on this weekend.
That was terrible, right?
Very, very disappointing.
Yeah, exactly, man. All right, so the big one, October 9th, Las Vegas on ESPN Plus pay-per-view, Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder, 12 rounds for Fury's WBC heavyweight title, F.A. Ajagba on the undercard versus Frank Sanchez, 10 rounds heavyweights, good fight. Robert Helenius versus Adam Konofsky, 10 rounds heavyweights, rematch, good fight. Jared Big Baby Anderson, Ohio's own son, versus Vladimir Tereshkin, 8 rounds heavyweights. Robeson Ramirez versus Orlando Gonzalez, 10 rounds featherweights. Edgar Berlanga versus Marcelo Esteban Caceres, 10 rounds super middleweights. J-Rock Julian Williams versus Vladimir Hernandez, 10 rounds junior middleweights. Rancis Bartholomew versus the dreaded TBA. Steve, this is the most stacked card This is an undercard. When we talk about, you know, putting an undercard together and everything like that for a pay-per-view, this is what I want to see. This is a good undercard. This is solid. Any thoughts on it?
I concur, sir.
A man of few words. I like it. That new chair fits you well. I like it. Doing great.
Beautiful new chair.
The quality on that chair is impeccable. All right. On October 9th from Liverpool, on the zone, Liam Smith versus Anthony Fowler, 12 rounds, junior middleweight.
That's a good fight. That's a good fight.
That's a pretty good fight, no? Ted Cheeseman versus Troy Williamson, 12 rounds for Cheeseman's British junior middleweight title. Kieran Conway versus James Metcalf, junior middleweights. And Shannon Courtenay versus Jamie Mitchell, 10 rounds for Courtenay's WBA women's bantamweight title. Let me see if there's anybody else on there I recognize. I don't recognize anybody else.
Not a high-profile card, but some very intriguing matchups. Good matchups.
Cheeseman, you know, Notorious brought up Cheeseman, and he's always in good fights.
Yeah.
I mean, he is. He's just that kind of guy. He's always in good fights.
None of the fighters on that card are defensive specialists.
No.
And because of their vulnerability and their aggressive style, and they're pretty solid offensively, they make for very entertaining fights. So that should be an entertaining card.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, obviously, if you're going to watch one or the other, I get you. You know, you're going to watch the ESPN, no question.
Of course.
But you got to catch this card on the zone. I mean, the Liam Smith, Anthony Fowler, that's a really solid, solid fight. These guys are going to go after each other. Ted Cheeseman's never in a boring fight. I like both of those fights, both of those I like both cards, but I like both of those fights on that DAZN card. They're really good. So there you go. Let's talk about the big one. Let's talk about the big one here. Let's get right into it. Wilder versus Fury 3, and let's break this fight down. Let's break down this preview. This is the third time these guys will step in the ring against each other. You could argue, really, that Fury won both fights. Of the 19 rounds, Wilder maybe won two or three. You count maybe two of the knockdown rounds from the first fight. I didn't give many rounds in that second fight. You can make a case that he won three rounds in that first fight. I didn't give him three rounds. I think I gave him two. But, you know, we've seen this fight twice now. Wilder can't make a claim that he's beaten Fury either time. So what makes this different? You know, Wilder's got a new trainer, Malik Scott. Malik has never trained anyone before. I don't know what made him hire Malik Scott. Again, the guy has not trained anybody. He's not, instead of hiring somebody who can, you know, who maybe can work with his style a little bit, not saying Malik Scott can't, and maybe he's, you know, it's just an odd thing for a former heavyweight champion who's right still at the top to take somebody on who's never had a pro, who's never trained anyone.
Well, this is a former sparring partner. It's a former, you know, he's a friend, right? So what type of relationship can they really have? Is this the guy that's going to really tell him what's wrong, or is this the guy that's going to tell him what he wants to hear? Because Deontay Wilder has had a history over the last few years of basically training himself. Even though there's a camp in there, he's the type of guy that calls the shots, does what he wants to do, and, you know, as Mark Breland had said, these last couple of years, he's been untrainable. And when you have a guy that goes in there and says, I only have to be perfect once, these guys have to be perfect the whole fight. So he's basically telling you that I don't care if I lose rounds. I don't care if I do well. As long as I land my right hand, it's going to heal all the mistakes. It's going to correct all the mistakes and heal all the wounds. But when you have a guy that can take that right hand, who can see it coming and can roll it, right, and can slip it and can parry it, right? And a guy who can stand up to you, who's a big, strong, powerful guy and has great boxing skills. That one right hand did not bail you out in two fights. But all of a sudden, people continue to say, well, he's still got that puncher's chance. Yeah, and I could still hit the lottery, but it's unlikely that I'm going to.
Yeah.
You guys are betting on a Hail Mary. You're betting on the Powerball, basically. Like Tyson Fury, if you have to have a severe case of cognitive dissonance if after watching these guys fight two times that you can't come to grips with the fact that Tyson Fury is just a much better skilled fighter than Deontay Wilder. And we're supposed to see this whole new, brand new Deontay Wilder, someone that has never been there in these 42 fights. He's gone the distance once, and he had a draw another time. It's only been 12 rounds twice in his whole career, and the other rest of his fights have been knockouts, right? So all of a sudden, we're expected to believe that he's going to wake up the morning of October 9th, and we're going to see a brand new Deontay Wilder. Listen, guys, I'm just being real. He hasn't looked good in a while. He was down on the scorecards against Gerald Washington, against Luis Ortiz, Molina, Spilka. All these guys were winning rounds against him. You know, and Luis Ortiz, if he didn't gas out when he wasn't old, he could have won a decision, right? So Deontay Wilder hasn't looked good in a while, but he just had that right hand bail him out. And you guys, and most of these guys who are picking him to win again, do they really think he can win, or do they want him to win? That's a chapter. That's the distinction you have to make. There's nothing wrong with rooting for the guy, but to just sit there and pretend that those first two fights didn't happen and that we're going to see a brand new Deontay Wilder that we haven't seen for 42, 43 fights, I don't know. I can't fathom that, right? I can't fathom that.
You know, Wilder is 35 years old.
36.
Is he 36 now? Okay.
Yeah.
36 years old. He's got 40-some-odd professional fights.
42 or 43 fights, yeah.
And what is that saying that I guess Customato said that you say all the time too, but the round peg?
People who are born round do not die square. Thank you for bringing that up. I use it every day.
I love it.
I said it to the cashier at a supermarket the other day. I said, listen, the way you're talking to me right now shows who you are as a person. People who are born round won't die square. So you're a little flippy. You're a little flippy one. I use it everywhere I go.
It's great, and it's so true. I think it's so true here. There's, you know, I haven't seen anything in those videos that would lead me to believe that Malik Scott has done anything differently as far as, and they may have trained differently. They may try going to the body or whatever in training or whatever. But you remember Jermaine Taylor when he was training with Emmanuel Stewart? Emmanuel used to get so mad at him because he had been with him at that point for like a few fights at that point. And he said every time he gets hit, he just goes back to what he knows. He doesn't bite down, and he doesn't do what he's trained to do. He goes back to what he knows. It's going to be no different here. He will go back to what he knows. And you know what? And Malik Scott is not really taking charge here. Malik Scott, I mean, you've seen it at the press conference, that first press conference they had, where he's got the headphones on, and he doesn't want to hear. I mean, that, if anything, man, that's a weak move. That's right. A telling move.
What did Malik Scott say at that press conference? I'm sure you remember this. He goes, well, Deontay Wilder is stubborn.
Yeah.
Why would a trainer talk about his fighter saying the word stubborn, right? That's the last thing you want to hear out of a trainer's mouth, that my fighter is stubborn. Because what do stubborn people do? They do what they want to do and they don't listen, right? So he's a stubborn guy, right? He lacks self-awareness.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And I don't like the fact that he continues to blame everyone else but himself for the loss.
Yeah.
So how can you, again, I hate to sound like a broken record, how can you correct your mistakes if you don't think they were your mistakes, but they were somebody else's? And then you got a guy like Malik Scott, who is your friend, right? See, not many people have this relationship like you and I have. I tell you straight like it is.
Absolutely.
You tell me straight like it is. But a lot of people have what's called fake friends that tell them what they want to hear.
That's a big one.
Right?
That's a big one.
Right? Many times I call you up and I ask you for advice, and you tell me, Beeb, you're a fucking weirdo. Stop. And I listen. But I don't envision Malik Scott saying that to Deontay Wilder.
I don't either.
Come on, man. Come on, man. You saying the guy had egg weights? Come on, man. Like,
No.
You got to check a dude who's like that, who's making these outlandish claims. But no one's doing
I
that.
I don't
now.
See that. Yeah, I don't see that happening. I believe he's riding with a lot of yes men. I really do.
100%.
You know.
I would love to ask Malice Scott the question. Will you pull the plug if Deontay Wilder cannot defend himself and is taking a beating? Or will you listen to what Deontay Wilder says, let me go out on my shield? I would love to see that. See, this is why I need to be out there in the field asking these questions to these trainers and fighters and managers and promoters. Because no one's going to ask that. Just like I asked Mauricio Suleiman on the Boxing Voice, I said to him, so what's going to happen next if someone else tests positive for fentanyl? What will the punishment be? Oh, we'll have to deal with that on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, of course he's not going to answer that question.
But no one's asking these types of questions.
Because nobody's answering those types of questions.
Nobody's asking these types of questions.
You know, because that guy is a snake. And that's the way it is. I mean, he's not going to answer that question. You know? He knows why. And if Canelo pops for fentanyl, trust me, he ain't getting suspended. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things, man. That guy's a clown. Let me ask you, Beeb. Okay, so every fight that we see Wilder in, he typically throws three punches. That's it. He's got one combination, a jab, a right hook, or a right hand to the head, and then he follows it up with a left hook. He throws jab, right, left hook. That's his only combination.
He slaps with the left
hook. It's not even a turning left hook. It's just kind of a...
He was like this with it. He just slaps with it like that.
Almost like he's on his... Right. It's a slap
left
hook.
Never turns it over.
No, so he just catches you.
Now all of a sudden he's going to be a body puncher.
How is he going to, you know, I'm assuming Fury is going to fight the same way in this fight. I'm assuming that Fury has found the recipe. He's going to try to back him up. I don't think he's going to try to do anything else. I think that's his plan A. I don't think he's going to have a plan B in there. I think that's his plan, is to back this guy up. The only way you really get out of that is you have to land a big shot. Okay, and if you can't, you have to rely on your footwork to turn him. Wilder doesn't have that footwork.
No, he has a wide stance, and he's off balance a lot.
And let me ask,
leads in with shots.
And let me ask you, so given the fact that he's 36 years old, he's done it this way for his entire life, how much really difference can Malik Scott do with his footwork? How much can Malik Scott really make in one fight?
And Christy Martin said this in an interview, shout out to HCP and D-Style and G-Funky. She said, why do these fighters, because I asked her, I said, what do you think about, you know, all these fighters putting the sparring footage out there and their training footage out there on social media? What are your thoughts on that? And she goes, I always tell the fighters, because she's a promoter now, I always tell fighters, don't do that. Don't let your opponent see how you look. Don't give any away your strategy, or don't give away how you're doing in camp. Don't let anyone know that. That should be kept secret. I've never seen a fighter who's preparing for a big fight put so much training footage up there. It's almost like he's looking for reassurance that he's doing well.
Have you seen any training footage of Tyson Fury? I haven't seen any coming into this fight. None.
So is this? I mean, are you doing this for the gram? Are you doing this for Twitter? Or are you doing this, you know, to win the fight? Like, why do I need to see you put up a one rep max of 330 pounds?
It's not going
to
help you.
What's that going to do in a fight? That barbell is staying steady for you. Tyson Fury's 275 pounds of perpetual motion. A guy who's not going to, he's going to be pushing you back and leaning on you, right? And you want to talk about the 40-pound suit and your legs not being right? What about the 275 pounds that was leaning and mauling you for seven rounds? That didn't take any of the steam out of your leg?
He wore a weighted suit to train. He wore like a weighted vest.
So 40 pounds for 5 minutes is really going to have that effect on you? What about the 275 pounds for 25 minutes leaning on you? That had nothing to do with your legs going? So again, guys, I mean, let's just call it for what it is. Tyson Fury is just the wrong style. And here's another thing, too. Let's go back in history, and I know people don't like to look at history. They don't like these comparisons. But every time you see trilogies, right, and you see, you know, rematches, trilogies, whatever, the guy who's the more technical guy, the guy who's the better boxer, tends to get better with every fight. Ali, Frazier. Every time they fought, Ali got better and did better, and Frazier ended up doing worse, right? When you look at Marquez Pacquiao, same thing. Marquez got better every fight, and ultimately in the fourth fight knocked him out, right? You know, when you see these types of fights where it's boxer versus puncher, the boxer always gets better because he's the guy that's collecting the data. Like Tyson Fury knows that right hand is coming from his chest. And then when he wants to throw it in an overhand fashion, got to reposition it and then come over the top of it. He's always dropping that right hand down by his chest, right? And then he's trying to reposition it, and then he has to raise it up and then throw it. So that's the tell. And if you notice, even that 12th round in the first fight, go back and watch the put that right hand in slow motion. Tyson Fury rolled it. Tyson Fury has been rolling that right hand for pretty much 19 rounds. He sees it coming. He can time it. He knows Deontay Wilder, right? He picks up on all the little nuances of Deontay Wilder, all the little idiosyncrasies. He sees them coming. He's figured this guy out. Oh, but he still has a puncher's chance. He had a puncher's chance for 19 rounds. Even in the second fight, he landed a right hand in the first round. And Tyson Fury just took it and rolled with it and kept coming forward. So all of a sudden, I just don't understand, like, what is going to happen? And people tend to forget that he's broken that right hand before. He's had torn bicep in both arms, right? This guy has been breaking down, you know, and he's not getting any better physically, right? There's a lot of wear and tear on this guy, right? Even in these fights, all these knockouts he's had, he's been getting hit a lot in these fights. He's been losing a lot of rounds, and in the process, you see him with swollen up eyes and, you know, dealing with injuries and you know, supposedly he's had, issues in the Luis Ortiz fight. Or I have the flu. You know, my hand was bothering me. I have issues with my forearm. He's always had some type of issue physically these last couple of years going into a fight. This isn't the first time we've heard about it. You know, and he's gotten surgery before, and he had to get surgery again for the other bicep tendon. So this guy has had injuries, right? And a lot of it is because of the way he throws his punches, right? He doesn't throw his punches properly. You don't throw your punches properly, you end up hyperextending things and tearing things, right? That's the problem. That's the problem.
Let me ask you, okay, so this is really interesting. Dr. Mofongo says he, meaning Wilder, looks 25 pounds heavier through his recent post. Let's talk about this for a minute, because the one thing I will say about Wilder is he always looks like he's in shape. All right? I mean, there's not an ounce of fat on this guy. He does. He looks like a superhero. He really does. But let's talk about this for a minute here. You know, where do these fighters come Friday at this weigh-in? Where do these fighters come in at? You know, Wilder weighed 212 in his first fight, but 231 in the second. He put on, you know, 17, 18 pounds, you know? Fury was 256 in the first fight and then 273 in the second fight. Clearly, he's definitely better in the second fight. Wilder was, well, like I said, man, Wilder weighed 231. Why did he feel the need to put on? I don't know why Wilder put on that extra weight. I think that's what messed with his legs in the second fight, because he's not used to that kind of weight. But now he's lifting weight. And then again, there's not an ounce of fat on him, so he's not going to, you know. So if he is actually bigger than 231, I think he's got problems. Do you think, where does he come in at on the scale-wise? I mean, because you're actually a pretty good judge of this. So when you look at his pictures and stuff like that, where do you think he's coming in at?
228, 229.
I think he should come in, my personal opinion, I think he should come in lighter so he can move a little bit quicker.
I think he's best at 220 pounds.
See, I think he's best a little bit lighter.
Him at 220 because he's 6'7". I like him at 220. I don't like him at 230, 231. I think he's going to come in at about 229 pounds.
So he's going to be about 230. What about Tyson Fury now? Tyson Fury's claimed he's going to come in right around 300 pounds, but who knows?
He actually looks lighter than he did for the second fight. I think he's going to come in at around 265.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that, like I said, the weight for Wilder, instead of, you know, just kind of increasing his weight or staying the same at that 231, is worse for him or is it better for him?
It's horrible for him because he thinks that this added weight is going to make him be able to deal with Fury's, you know, physical strength on the inside. It's going to help him lean on, you know, be able to lean on Fury and push him back. I think if, you know, both of these guys go in a clinch and Tyson Fury is leaning on Wilder, I don't think Wilder has the strength because it's all about, you know, your lower body.
Yeah.
He has very, very thin legs, doesn't have a lot of leg strength. One thing we're not seeing him do is doing squats, are we? We're not seeing him doing any leg presses, are we? Right? That's where the issue lies. If you don't have that strong base, everything is your legs. Now, you do have these freakish guys like Tommy Hearns and Deontay Wilder who have a great amount of fast twitch muscle fibers in their upper body. But what happens to these guys? They don't have the durability. Thomas Hearns wasn't a very durable guy, right? Because he didn't have that base to hold him steady, right? And Wilder's the same way. Fury's got a low center of gravity. He's big everywhere, right? He's just big everywhere.
Big guy, yeah.
You got a guy leaning on you inside. I don't give a fuck if you can bench 400 pounds. I want to know what you can do with your legs because your legs are what is pushing back this guy, for giving you the strength to push back on this guy. It's all your legs. He just doesn't have the legs.
You know, okay, so let me ask you this, because he's been, you know, they showed the one video that kind of went viral was the two bench press videos. The first one, I think he looked like he barely got up, and the second one he looked like he handled pretty well. But, you know, in boxers and weights, have always been somewhat taboo, but it's obviously been accepted, you know, recently. You know, recently I mean like this generation, not like back in like, you know, Larry Holmes' days, they don't want to lift weights or anything like that. They always shied away from that because they said it would lose speed or whatever. But I was always taught, like, when you do, like, weightlifting for, like, sports like this, for MMA or boxing or whatever, it's always got to be functional, like kettlebells are functional work. Barbells are more functional work than your traditional bench press. Dumbbells.
I like dumbbells, yeah.
Yeah, they're more traditional as far as functional strength goes. The kettlebells are more functional. The bench press really isn't going to help you.
Can I tell you something? I haven't benched probably since maybe 1999 was the last time I actually bench pressed.
Yeah.
It's one of the most to me, it's one of the most useless exercises around.
I think that and preacher curls. I mean, really, like, when are you going to use a preacher curl? You know what I mean? You're never going to functionally use that, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that's
I'm not a big fan of bench pressing anyway. I never have been.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. And so, like, he's doing these, and I'm watching him, and I'm like, wow, yeah. I mean, it's impressive to get 300 pounds up. I get you. Okay, great. But how does this help you? If anything, it's going to tighten you up. You know, and again, you're not using. It's not functional. So I don't know.
Yeah. I don't see how that's
Bruce Go says that was just a stupid one press for the video app. Hey, listen. If it was a stupid one press, he was clearly training for it.
He did it twice. There was a couple times he did it. There was like two times he did a video about it.
Right. So, listen, obviously he's training for it. You don't just walk in cold and bench that kind of weight. Am I wrong?
Did you just go
in and bench 300 pounds? You know what I'm saying? You got
to
warm up.
He's trying to give the impression that I'm going to be stronger and I'm not going to be pushed around this time.
That has nothing to do with it.
And it has nothing to do with it.
Zero to do with being pushed around.
Zero to do.
So you're saying he can't be out muscle because he weighs there because he pushes 300 pounds?
Do you ever see what Andy Ruiz does? He has that sled. And it has the weights on it, and he attaches it to his waist, and he's running and pulling the sled. Have we seen Wilder do that?
No.
That's functional.
Right.
That teaches you how to be explosive off your feet. Right? That teaches you to explode from with your feet. And where do the punches come from? They come from your feet. Right? And then there's outliers. Like I said, Tommy Hearns, Deontay Wilder. Some guys just have an incredible amount of fast twitch muscle fibers in their upper body.
Yeah.
So they can get away with not having great leg strength. Okay, that's fine. But the majority of people, the best punchers in the world generally have those thick legs. Like Mike Tyson, the big, thick thighs. George Foreman, big, you know what I'm saying?
Big leg. That's where your power comes
big
from.
Big legs.
That's where the power comes from. You know, hey guys, if you guys are watching this, man, and you guys are on YouTube, man, give us a thumbs up here, man. We got a lot of people watching. We have don't have a lot of thumbs up here, so let's get these ratings up, man. Let's get those thumbs up, man. Come on, you guys can hit it. We're not asking you to work in a coal mine here. Just hit the thumbs up button.
Hit the thumbs up, guys. Come on.
Come on. Let me ask you a question because we both think Tyson Fury is going to win this fight.
Yeah,
I think so. I think that's a pretty fair assessment here.
Yeah.
Three people. One thing I found interesting, though, of the three people that knocked Fury down, Steve Cunningham, Nevin Podjik, and Deontay Wilder, all of them, well, with the exception of Wilder, because Wilder didn't hit him with this, but they all caught him with right hands. Two of the three caught him with an overhand right. And Deontay caught him with it wasn't an overhand right per se, but it was a right hand. It looked, you know, it wasn't a wind-up shot. But he did catch him with that overhand right in the 12th. He's susceptible to getting hits with these overhand rights. And you're dealing with a guy that, whether we like it or not, you know, I don't see, listen, that's Deontay's only plan here is going to be to knock him out. There is no plan B. There is no let's go outbox. You're not going to outbox this guy. It's not going to happen. All right? He's not going to outbox this guy. He's got one plan, and that's to knock this guy out. He could pull a Vernon Forrest on Shane Mosley, you know, when Vernon Forrest beat Shane Mosley, where, you know, he knocked him down early and then just controlled the rest of the fight. I think Wilder can do that. Wilder can definitely knock him out. How does Wilder go about this? How does Wilder go about setting up that right hand? Is there anything in training he could do to try to set up that right hand, which he couldn't do at all in that second fight?
Wilder's going to have to use a lot of feints, and he's going to have to use the jab at overtime. Can't let Fury get close, right? If Fury grabs him and leans on him, Wilder's got to take the step back and try to not allow himself to have to hold that weight up. So if a guy's coming on, like leaning on you, you step back and slide off to the side. Don't push back with Fury. Problem is, he's going to try and push back with Fury. That's what I believe. He's going to, because he's stubborn, he's saying to himself, this guy's not stronger than me. I'm just as strong as this guy. That's why he's trying to put up 330 pounds, thinking that that's going to help him deal with this guy's strength. You don't do that. What you got to do is when the guy's leaning on you up close, you got to slide back and you got to jab as you're sliding back. So you slide back, let the guy come forward, lean forward, and then you jab him. You know what? You can jab him on the way out, right? You step off to the side, come over the top with the overhand right. Let this guy fall forward. If this guy's trying to lean on you, you step back away. Step back away, right? Push off, jab. Push off, jab. Jab on the way out, step off to the right, boom, overhand right. You've got to constantly try to create space in this fight because if the space is taken away from him like it was in the second fight, his power is going to get smothered. And he's trying to fight back with this guy. He's trying to, you know, wrestle back with this guy. He's trying to maul back with this guy. Wrong answer. Now he thinks he's going to be a body puncher. He's going to be like Mike McCallum now for this fight and try to punch him to the body. But once again, when Fury leans and grabs you, he's very good. He'll grab you like this. And if you notice, he'll cross his arms and his elbows are protecting his body. The guy is a fucking genius. Even when he grabs you and holds you like this, his arms are like this, protecting his body. And he tucks his chin and he goes like this. He's just too hard to deal with on the inside. Really is.
You know, and in both fights, and we talk about Wilder has to control the distance. However, in both fights, he didn't control the distance.
No.
In the first fight, Tyson Fury maintained the distance. In the second fight, Tyson Fury dictated the distance. I don't know, again, man, I see one way Wilder can win this fight. This is why I don't really, you know, I see one way he can win this fight. And make no mistake, he can win this fight. He can win it because he can land that right hand. But as time goes on and you figure this guy out, which he's had 19 rounds to do, it becomes harder and harder and harder to land that big shot. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, you have a guy that seems to know when it's coming now. Right?
Yeah.
You have a guy that even when it lands, he's rolling it. Right? You have a guy that has been slipping it. Right? And on the rare occasions when it has landed, yeah, he got knocked down twice. But he walked right through it in the second fight. Right? He walked right through it.
I think that's the tough thing. But again, you got a guy whose all three knockdowns have come with the hand of right hands, you know, and two of them overhand rights. Wilder can throw an overhand right. We know that. He can get clipped. But I think, you know, when you're kind of handicapping a fight or whatever, I kind of tend to go with the guy who has more ways to win.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You know, and Wilder, I believe, has one way to win. He's not going to outbox him. The only way he's going to outbox him if he tags him early. If he tags Fury early, Fury goes on the defensive, Wilder wins rounds like that. I get it. Short of that, it's going to be a long night, and you got to think that Wilder's going to just try to use that right hand. So, you know, and again, three punches, left, right, left. That's it. That's what he throws. That's what he throws. That's his combination. That's his only combination Wilder's ever thrown.
Yeah.
So it's tough for me. It's really tough for me to see a way that Wilder wins this fight. Now, again, you know, if you're looking at, you know, who should win the fight, I would love to see Wilder win the fight because of all the nonsense that Fury did leading into this fight. The stuff with Joshua, the stuff with everything, it's just nonsense. But then you look at the other side of the coin. You got Wilder doing the same stuff, blaming everybody except Santa Claus for his loss. So, you know, I'm just looking forward to a good fight. I really am. I'm looking forward to a good fight. You know,
I really don't care. I really don't care who wins the fight unless I bet on it. You know, I bet on the fight.
That's a good segue here. Is this a fight that you bet on? This is tough one.
So you know, the draw is a plus 2,500. The under is a minus 200. Fury is a minus 325. Wilder is a plus 230. Wilder.
The under is a what?
9.5 rounds.
And what was the odds on that?
Minus 200. So the odds makers don't think this fight's going.
They don't think
gonna,
so.
Going, yeah, they don't think it's going to go into the 11th round. Also, Wilder is a plus 230. Wilder by decision is a plus 800. Wilder by KO is a plus 300. Fury by KO is a minus 110. Fury by decision is a plus 400. So the odds makers are leaning towards a Fury KO here. But here's the thing. I don't know. I'm like 70%. 65 to 70% sure that I think Fury is going to probably KO him. But there's like 30% of me thinking that maybe Fury will go the distance. You can hedge your bet here. You could bet like 100 on the KO prop at Fury and bet 50 on the decision prop. So if he does KO him, you only make like $45. But if he does decision him, you get like $220, right? So at least you're insuring your bet. Because you just bet him by KO, and he ends up winning a decision, then you lose 100.
Yeah.
So, you know, do you want to insure yourself, and then you know you're only going to make 40, you know, 45 if you hedge it, but better than losing, right? So,
well,
I think the play here would be to bet Fury with the KO proposition if you want to be aggressive. You know, you bet 100, you get like 90 back plus 100, so you get like 190 back. So,
I don't know. I would bet, you know, number one, I would stay away from this fight. And, I wouldn't bet it until I saw the weigh-ins anyway. But I don't know that I would really bet this fight. But if I were to put some money down, putting the money on Fury is just kind of like, you're not getting much back. You know what I mean? You're not getting a whole lot back. And whether it goes to a decision or not, I don't know. I'll be honest. I have no idea whether this fight goes to a decision or not. But the money that, you know, Fury's, you know, it's not going to do anything. If you were going to bet, what do you call it, a tickle or whatever? Is that what you call it? Like
a little tickle.
A little yeah. tickle. Some what do they call those? The bets, they call them units, the units. Put a half a unit or put a quarter of a unit on a Wilder knockout. That's a plus 300. That's plus 300, yeah?
Yeah.
You'll see some money there, you know. And, again, you're not going to break the bank if you lose, you know. Notorious VC said Fury plus 260, that's worth betting. Yeah, that's another one. Either one. I think either one is good.
So Fury by decision is a plus 400.
Oh, but okay, saying, plus 400.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is if you bet the KO proposition along with the decision proposition, you bet 100 on the KO prop, and then you bet 50 on the decision prop, then you'll only end up winning like 220.
Yeah.
Because you're gonna have to lose your 100.
So those are the two. If I were to bet, I would bet on a Wilder KO. If you were to bet, you would bet on Fury decision. Correct?
I would bet Fury by KO, and then I would straddle
Fury
it.
By, okay, gotcha.
Then I would straddle it with Fury by decision.
Gotcha.
That's what I would do.
All right. All right, let's go to the phones here. We got Ringside on the phone here. Ringside, Robert.
Fucking rat.
Jesus.
Hi, Robbie.
Well, that was a nice greeting there, Joe.
Wow, that was rough, man.
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to Eric.
You were talking to me. What are you talking to me for?
Anyway, guys, to be honest, we've seen this fight twice already. I'm sorry that we're going to have to see this again.
Don't be a negative, Nelly. Come on. Stop being negative. Stop being a hater all your life.
Would you knock it off? I'm not hating. I'm just stating an opinion.
As soon as I said that, someone just gave us a dislike. Let me find out. Robbie's got some ghost accounts here giving us dislikes.
No, I wouldn't do no such thing, and I'm not. And I don't recommend that anybody do that. That you take that back, whoever did.
Not what Mrs. Herrick said. But go ahead.
No, seriously, guys, I hope this fight is a good fight. I hope it's entertaining, but I honestly hope that Fury wins this fight and we don't see Deontay Wilder anymore. After his shenanigans, after his loss in February, I really have no interest in seeing this guy fight. I mean, he threw Mark Breland under the bus. He made one excuse after another. And if you remember, when Deontay Wilder first popped on the scene, there's somebody that we all know that didn't even know who Mark Breland even was. I mean,
stop it.
You know, come
why
on.
Are you going to take shots?
Oh, that's terrible.
Come on, that's water under the bridge. That's water
you know,
under the bridge.
He's a friend of the show now.
There's a lot of things that you don't know, right?
God darn it.
You know. But,
I don't even know what the Fifth Amendment is, and I got to tell you what it was. I didn't make fun of you about it.
No, I know what that is. I know what that is. But the point is
what is the Fifth Amendment?
The point is, guys, you don't throw
people.
He
won't even answer it. He's lying.
You don't throw people under the bus for doing their job. You know, he did his job.
Bobby, you made a living off of throwing Eric under the bus when you were one of the co-hosts of this show, so stop.
Oh, my. No, I don't know what the hell's wrong with you the last 2 weeks. Jesus Christ. I don't know what's going on with you, but you need to get something taken care of. What? I have no idea. But anyway. I just want this fight to be done and over with, you know, because, frankly, we've seen 19 rounds of this. We don't need to see it anymore. Wilder had the right to ask for the arbitrator, and the arbitrator ruled and made a decision. Now we have to deal with it. We have better fights to look forward to possibly in the heavyweight division. I mean, you've got other people out there waiting for their turn. I think Wilder's just taking up space. I want Fury to dispose of him and get it over with, period.
Wow. It was rough.
Who do you think wins this fight and why?
I think Fury wins. And I would say by maybe a seventh round TKO.
Wow. Anything that Wilder can do different? Anything with Malik Scott in the corner? Anything?
No, because their physical dimensions don't change, Eric. You're going to have Tyson Fury about 260, 265. He's got, what, 85, 86-inch reach. Fury can either keep him on the outside and make it extremely boring and just box, or he can go on the inside and rough up Wilder all night and lean on him and make it rough for him, and then when he feels like it, he can dispose of him. I mean, he could make this one hell of a boring fight, or he could go in and rough the guy up and, cut him up, maybe open up a couple of cuts on his eyes and, have blood all over the place and make it disgusting. I mean, Tyson Fury has
more
ways.
What is this, a horror
ways.
Movie or a fight? Come on.
Tyson Fury has more ways to do damage than Deontay Wilder does. I mean, what's he going to do? You're going to see Wilder swing that right hand all night, and Fury has such a long reach, unless he stands still, you're not going to hit him with it. And even when he did hit him with it, Fury got up, and he's been the only person to ever get up from Wilder's punch. Everybody else has laid down and went to sleep. Fury has always gotten up whenever he's been knocked down.
Yeah, but you know what? And I mean, Fury's got a tremendous chin. I get that. But, Wilder, anybody, again, I've always said this, anybody over 200 pounds can hurt you. Anybody
Absolutely.
Over 200 pounds can put you out.
Yep.
And he knows how to fight.
Yep.
If he connects, he can put you out. He's a dangerous guy.
I know that. But he's only got one way to win. Fury's got multiple ways to win.
I agree.
And I want Tyson Fury to go in there, get the job done so he can move on and give other people their shots at the title.
I would agree with that, too. I would like to see so if Fury wins, I believe he'll – I don't know that he faces Usyk next, but I think he – I don't know.
He's got a mandatory with Dillian Whyte, doesn't he?
No.
Dillian White's fighting Otto Wallin.
They haven't enforced that.
Yeah, that's another one,
Yeah. Robbie, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
You think the winner of this fight goes near Usyk? Because Deontay Wilder says they made a statement that they have no interest of unifying the titles and becoming undisputed.
Remember, Joe, the PBC.
Hang on for a second. Why would they say that? Why would I don't understand, B. Why would they say that?
I have no idea.
Because I'll tell you what, I think that I would favor, if Wilder wins this fight, I would favor him over Usyk. I just would. I think, yes, I would. Because, again, man, he's a big guy. He's a big guy who can punch. And Usyk did well against AJ. Usyk, again, style. It's just style-wise. I think he actually matches up better. Because AJ tried to box. He tried to play Usyk's game. Wilder's not going to play that game. But, again, I don't know. That's why they fight. But, again, I think it's a better matchup style-wise. I think Usyk's a better matchup, or Wilder's a better matchup with Usyk style-wise. I think that's really good.
Yeah.
Well, the problem you have, guys, is Joshua's probably going to invoke that rematch clause. And if he does that means Usyk's going to be tied up with Joshua. So that's why I say if Fury wins or if Wilder wins, aren't they going to have a mandatory that they're going to have to deal with?
I don't know. Depends. So now, there's a lot of mandatories out there who don't get, Look at Dillian White's been a mandatory for, 25 years.
Yeah, yeah. And now, every interview, he talks about that,
Now I'm reading an article by Lem Satterfield saying that Deontay Wilder does want Usyk, so who knows what the fuck's going on.
I wouldn't see why he wouldn't want him. I mean, who doesn't want to be the undisputed champion?
Well, we haven't had an undisputed champion in how many years now? I mean,
I think the last one was Lennox Lewis,
well,
right?
Klitschko didn't have the WBC belt.
No.
I think Lennox Lewis was the last.
Was Lennox Lewis the last one?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Wow.
Well, all these guys talk a good game, but no one actually steps up to the – well, yeah, Lennox Lewis. Lennox Lewis was when he beat Holyfield.
Yeah. There you go. All right, Robert, we're going to get running. We're going to get some other calls. Stay on the line
for me.
Okay, see ya. All right, area code 917. 917, you're live.
Mail car, baby. What's up?
Mail car.
Yo, you know it. Maestro, how's it going, guys?
Maestro, what's up?
No, I just want to give my take real quick on this fight. I mean, to me, it's clear that Wilder's not going to win because Fury's got his number. Joe alluded to it earlier. He shows a big tell anytime he needs to throw that right. Essentially what he does is he brings his right hand from an elevated kind of position around his head. He brings it down to, like, his nipple area, and then he throws the right hand from there after always needing to plant and set his feet. None of the training footage I've seen from Malik Scott has showed any semblance of fighting on the retreat, which he's going to have to do, which he couldn't do in the 12th round of the first fight, which he couldn't do in any of the rounds of the second fight, nor have I seen anything about inside fighting. Now, maybe, you know, they're hiding that footage, and this is all a big ploy to fool us or fool the Fury team, but I highly doubt that that's the case. The weightlifting footage, as you were saying, Eric, is comical. I think the biggest piece of comedy from all of that was if you looked at his legs during the bench press. I mean, he's got chicken legs. You know, there's no other way to really put it. You know, 315, 340, 350, whatever, the one rep max is not very impressive. Definitely not for a guy that's 6'7" and is an elite athlete. Like, I can do multiples on the bench press of 300-plus pounds. And to your point, compound exercises like that are not really great for boxing because they're not functional. So whether it's the weightlifting, whether it's the training, you know, I don't really see anything different going into this fight. His trainer's untested. Sugar Hill is tested, not just with the Fury fight, but with his history with guys like Adonis Stevenson, who he kind of fine-tuned and molded, you know, into one of the most devastating punchers before he kind of got injured and retired. I mean, people forget the way he was icing guys. You know, the writing's on the wall. And when I think about essentially what's going on in the camp, in the Wilder camp, you know, just listen to the beginning of Ludacris' song, Coming to America. You know, it's Your Royal Highness is clean. Oh, sorry, Your Royal Penis is clean, my Highness. I mean, that's what's going on. You know, there's no truth telling there. It's nothing but pom-pom waving and gassing this dude up. So he's going to get knocked out. I'm going to reach out to Joe later for some betting advice because I definitely want to capitalize on this. And I think I'll pretty much leave it at that, guys.
Wow. There you go. Maestro with his pick. He's taking – there's no bones. There's no bones about that one. He is definitely in the Fury camp, Beeb. No question about that. Hey, Maestro said he can bench press 300 pounds, like, multiple times?
Maestro's a beast. Come on.
That's crazy, man. That's a lot of weight.
Maestro's like 6'4". He's 6'4", 230, man.
I knew he was in good shape. I didn't like.
When I'm in New York,
when
I'm in New York, I give Maestro I give him $100 an hour just to walk with me, man.
I'd give him $100 an hour to be my bodyguard, man. Heck yeah.
Well, that's basically what I said. Not so many words.
Just walk with me. Not so many words.
I don't want to, like, you know, divulge what happened.
Pounds, man. That's a lot of weight to push around.
6'4", 230, man.
Wow.
He's folding dudes up like lawn chairs.
Yeah, I could hear it.
Just the way it is. Gets paid $100 an hour just to walk with me when I'm in New York.
Eric Turner says, what do you guys think about Wilder's recent videos where he looks really light on his feet? Now, I'll be honest with you. I haven't seen him. I haven't seen the videos where he's
He looks white on his... Where is this? This bizarre world?
Now, listen, Eric, I haven't seen the video. I'll be honest with you. I haven't seen the video. But I'll be honest with you, and I'll kind of go back to my original point here. If he does look light on his feet in the videos, I think that's great. I think that's good for him. The problem is, again, and we've seen the training videos where he's throwing different combinations and stuff. Again, stuff like that, anything in boxing always takes time to do. Realistically, how long does it take to throw a proper jab when you first walk in the gym? It takes a bit. It takes a bit to throw a proper jab. To throw a proper jab in the proper way to begin with. Then you have to work at it. And then you have to do it all the time. But then you have to do during a fight. And then you have to do it under duress. That's the big difference here. Okay? Because anybody can look good in the gym and anybody can improve on things in the gym. But when you're under duress, when you're under that stress now of somebody trying to take your head off, can you throw a proper jab then? Is he going to be able to move his feet then? I don't know. That's a big one.
It'll be hard, brother.
Yeah, that's a big one. And that's my only concern. And I do think that, you know, like I said, I mean, I think he's learning things. I do think he's learning things in camp with Malik Scott. No question about it. But is he going to be able to implement those things? Again, at 36 years old, with 40-some professional fights, doing the same thing over and over that he's done, it's a hard thing to come out with.
I'm going to be honest. I don't even know if they're doing anything different. Like, I don't see anything different. I see him throwing a lot of body punches.
Oh, stop being a hater, Beeb. Come on.
I know. I'm not saying what people want me to say. I know.
Come on. Stop being a hater. Why don't you promote this fight, all right? You know,
I'm hurting people's feelings here, but.
Well, you know what? Too late. Too late.
What can I do, man? I gotta bring the realness.
Bring the realness. We're going to go back to the phones in just a second here. But you know what time it is.
Here's my truth serum.
Truth serum, the Beeb serum. Beeb, exciting news across from our friends at Manscaped. They just launched their fourth generation performance package. The ultimate package includes the Lawnmower 4.0. Manscaped 4.0. The leaders in male grooming have done it again to make your grooming game next level. Look at that. The Beeb's got the weed whacker right there. Look at it. It's perfect. Perfect, guys. The Performance Package 4.0 by Manscaped has arrived, and oh man, was it worth the wait. Inside this package, you will find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker, ear and nose and hair trimmer, crop preserver deodorant, crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your goodies. The new Performance Package includes the new Lawnmower 4.0. This trimmer is insane. It's waterproof, everything. I love it, man. Is it the greatest trimmer ever? Yeah, I think it might be. I said it. It might be the greatest one ever. The fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock, and gives you the ability to turn on the 4,000K LED spotlight when needed for a more precise shave. Did I mention it's waterproof? I think I did. You thought this was good, but you want to take it to your next level? The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof. Beeb, give us a demonstration. Today. Come on. Maron. Look at that. Beeb, does that work pretty well? Come on, we got to be honest here. That worked pretty well?
See the noses?
Look at that. Look at that. Incredible.
No scraggly. No straggles hanging out.
There you go. There you go. The weed whacker is also waterproof.
So it lights up right there.
I love it. Dual blade system. The nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps. It also helps prevent nicks, snags, tugs in those delicate areas. Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations, their crop preserver deodorant for before leaving the house, and crop reviver for a mid-game check. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped boxers, which I love, and the Shed travel bag. Bring your comfort and your boxers to the next level. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code RINGSIDEREPORTER, one word, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code RINGSIDEREPORTER at manscaped.com. There you go. And I'll tell you what, and I will say this, is that every product there that I've used is good. It's one of those things, and Veeb and I, we've both talked about this. Every product that we get from there has been good. And we've purchased products and everything, and they've all been really solid. I would suggest just give them a try. I mean, and if you're going to buy from them, just definitely use our promo code so you get 20% off.
Free shipping, too. You're not going to beat free shipping.
You cannot beat that. With 20% off and free shipping, you can't beat it. And that underwear they have there is amazing. It's just amazing. I love their underwear, Veeb. I'm not usually a boxer guy. It's like boxer briefs kind of. I like them.
You wear briefs?
I do. I wear the white one. I know. I'm like stuck in the 70s, man.
What are you, a fruit?
Fruit of the Loom.
Jesus.
But I don't wear them anymore because I got the Manscaped undies now. I like those.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Not change the subject?
Sure.
I was hoping to stay
on underwear, but yeah, go ahead.
Did you say that the Wilder Fury, there's going to be a Wilder Fury press conference? Is that going to be with both guys live together?
Supposedly. Wednesday, I believe at 2 o'clock. That's 2 o'clock Nevada time, so probably 5 on our time. It'll be on ESPN 2, I believe.
Okay.
They're supposed to be there. They're supposed to be there.
Okay.
So
I hope so.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how Wilder is at this press conference. I know at that first press conference with the headphones and everything like that, it's kind of looked like a sucker, man, to be honest with you. I don't know. I mean, he doesn't
look. I'm afraid.
Well, I got a Milka. I got Maestro. He's benching twice as much as Wilder.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, let's go back to the phones here. Area code 760-760, you're live.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? This is Brian. What's up with you?
Brian, what's happening?
All right, Brian, what's going on?
Brian is a huge Wilder fan.
Yep. Yes, sir. Hey, matter of fact, Eric, I got you some Wilder T-shirts for Sunday. I'll send it to you after Sunday.
I'll wear them. I don't care.
Hey, but look, man, you know, on this one, I'll tell you like this, homie. It's like, I understand the data, all this, what you guys talking about. But you can still cheer for somebody to win a fucking fight, right?
Of course, Brian. I can win Wilder to win the fucking fight.
It's like people get mad at me because I want
Why am I hearing a big bell? Are you at the gym or something like that? Why am I hearing a bell going on? Does your car need maintenance or something like that?
No, that's my, I got to put my seatbelt on.
Put your seatbelt on.
You're driving without a seatbelt?
You're driving here talking us on the line. You seriously driving and talking us at the same time? You know how dangerous that is?
Look, man, I just hopped in the car.
God forbid you getting wrecked, and I got to get blamed for this. Hey, you're at the train station over here.
Look, I got my seatbelt on. I'm good now.
That's all I need on my head. That's all I need.
What about our conscience? Why don't you think about us for a minute?
Jesus Christ.
All right, man. I'm rocking it. I'm rocking it.
He's backing up the Amazon Prime truck.
Brian, you know what? I want to say something to you, man. There's nothing wrong with you rooting for somebody, man. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with you rooting for somebody, and no one should try to tell you otherwise. If you want to root for Wilder to win, then root for Wilder to win. I'm not here to talk you out of it.
I don't care. I really don't give a damn if I'm the only person around this motherfucker that's just going for the dude to win. I don't give a shit. I'm a Raiders fan. I'm a Lakers fan.
Do you, brother?
LeBron, son. Ohio.
Yeah, right. Your boy, LeBron. I love him. He's on the Lakers. I didn't like him before until he came to the Lakers.
You like him now, don't you?
I mean, but what I'm saying is, like, you know, we sports fans, it's like, you fucking, that's what you do, right? You fucking, it's like, my Raiders, I don't expect them to win every fucking game, but I still root for them, right? You fucking root for somebody to win the fight. I want Wilder to win the fucking fight. I don't want to see no damn Usyk against Tyson Fury, and I doubt if it'll be in the damn United States. You know what I'm saying? You think if Tyson, since you guys room for Tyson Fury and Usyk undefeated. Would that shit even be entertaining, and would it be in the U.S.?
Who knows, man? It probably won't be a the
oh, no,
probably
man.
Won't
we know that man. Shit is not going to be in the damn U.S. We do know we are not coming to Usyk against Fury. I'm not going for that. I just don't want to see that shit. That's what I don't want to see. I wouldn't mind seeing Wilder versus Usyk in Vegas. That's tight. You know what I'm saying? All I'm saying is that
hey,
I'm going to go for who I want to. Shit.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question because I know you're a big Wilder fan. You're a big Wilder fan. I know that. What were your thoughts when all the excuses came out after that second fight?
I mean, like, you know, I just was like, something was up with the dude. I don't know about the fucking excuses, okay? I don't know. I don't know about the shit. Something was up with Wilder. That's for damn sure, okay? So, if anything, let's see what he looked like when ain't nothing up with him, when something ain't wrong with him. And then if he get beat up like that again, okay, ain't no damn excuses. But something was up with him. I don't know about his excuses. I don't know. Okay, I just know something was up with the dude. That's it. So I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt as a fan. You know what I'm saying? And shit, we'll see how he do in this second fight because if the same shit happened, it ain't no damn excuses, right? You
yeah,
know, there ain't
I mean,
no excuses
this fight should hopefully put all the excuses to bed, yes.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Everybody's so mad about the fucking Wilder and Fury fighting again. Them same people not mad about Joshua and Usyk fighting again. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, back in the day, that's what these dudes used to rematch all the time, man. All the time. You know, Ali had rematches, three rematches. What's his name? Evander Holyfield, Riddick Bowe. I mean, come on, man.
Evander Holyfield fought Bowe three times.
Yeah.
He fought.
Pacquiao, look at Pacquiao
Marquez.
Pacquiao versus Marquez, there was like one boring ass fight in that shit. I mean, you know, maybe one. No, it wasn't even not one. I mean,
they were all good fights.
So I don't get why everybody just be complaining about the shit. Stop fucking complaining. The shit almost is right around the damn corner. It's like nobody making you watch a fucking fight. That's where fools be acting weird. We have to be forced. You ain't gotta fucking be forced to watch no damn fight. You can go outside and go smoke a fucking blunt or some shit. Who gives a damn?
I gotta go. I can't deal with it. I can't deal with that beeping in the background. I just can't. I don't care if he's backing it up or what he's doing. We told him. Can't deal with it. Can't. Sorry, Brian. Can't deal with it.
Uh-oh.
Cut him off. What'd I do? Was that wrong?
I would have.
Listen, I don't care if it's wrong. Doesn't matter. He's over there driving a car, backing up. It's like beeping and beeping and beeping like he's making deliveries or something like that. What are you doing?
I mean, the guy's like family. I mean, you just.
Is he? Is he really? Because he sends you clothes? Because he plays dress up with you? What?
That was uncalled for.
Centurion said that was a bit harsh.
That was harsh, man.
What's the matter with you guys? Come on.
Every time you have that extra cup of coffee, you're not right.
Area code 515. I mean, Iowa, I think. You're live.
Oh, yeah. What's up, Eric, you liberal fuck? Chandler M.
Who are we talking
to?
You
knew I'd be back. Chandler M.
Chandler M. Oh, man. You know, Chandler, you're not going to be able to get a pie in your face for that Teofimo fight after all, looks like.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, save you a little bit of cash from going down to the grocery store and getting a pie. So, oh, well.
I appreciate that.
But, yeah, You know, I got this weird feeling. I think Wilder somehow is going to win, and then we're going to have the weirdest heavyweight matchup of all time. with Wilder.
That's a weird feeling,
Usyk.
Too.
Yeah,
I've got that weird feeling, too.
It shouldn't happen. It shouldn't. But I just got this feeling that, you know, I don't know, something's not right in the boxing world.
Did you hear, Babe, did you hear Michael Benson on Twitter? He posted something a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't heard from it since. But he said that Tyson Fury may pull out because of an ankle injury. Have you heard anything about that?
They always say stupid shit like that,
oh,
man.
Stop it, Babe.
They said it. They said it in the second fight, too. They said it in the second fight, too.
Did they?
Yeah, there was a rumor going around. Eddie Hearn said, I heard that Tyson Fury's something's wrong with Tyson Fury. That's why I'm picking Wilder. And then Tyson Fury after the fight said, yeah, that we put that out there on purpose to make them think that there was something wrong with us.
Okay. Yeah, that makes
sense. I don't know.
What was up with the dude with the beeping in the background? Because there was something he was way wrong on when he was talking about trilogy matches. What he doesn't realize is all the other big trilogy matches that have happened, they've been competitive. And Wilder and Fury have not been competitive for their last two fights. It's completely different than what he's talking about. What? Wilder's won 2 rounds out of 17?
Yeah, what is it? 19 rounds they fought. I think I've given Wilder maybe 2, maybe 3. I don't even think you can't argue any rounds in the second fight.
Yeah, I gave him 3 rounds in 19 fights.
Yeah, you can argue the 2 knockdown rounds, 9 and 12, maybe a round, maybe a round in that first fight.
They were all competitive. It wasn't, you know, just a completely one-sided fight like these are. So
I don't even think I gave Wilder. I don't even think I gave Wilder more than 3 rounds in the Luis Ortiz fight either. I thought
he was getting washed in that Luis Ortiz fight. He was getting washed.
I gave him 1 round in the second Luis Ortiz fight, and maybe 2 in the first. So I don't even think I think he only won 3 rounds in that series of fights.
Yeah, at this point, it's not competitive. But
I'm not trying to be an asshole, but I've never. The heavyweight champion loses as many rounds as Wilder has. I'm not trying to be a jerk on that. I'm just being honest.
No, I completely agree on that. And I think even, you know, Tyson Fury should win, and I hope he wins, but I think Usyk beats the shit out of him. I think Usyk has everything that Tyson Fury's never faced, and he's always struggled against opponents that are actually smaller than him. And even Usyk in the Joshua rematch, which he has to take because it was in the quads, I don't think Joshua is going to do any better. If anything, I think he gets knocked out the second time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Usyk, man. Usyk, I hope he does well, man, because he's coming up from cruiserweight, unified cruiserweight. He's easily one of the best boxers in the world, one of the best boxers, you know. And then when he beat AJ, that just took him to another level, man. I mean, it really did.
Yeah. So what's your guys' prediction for the Canelo Plant fight? Because I'm flying out there for that one. I already got my tickets and everything.
Yeah, I think Canelo stops him in about seven or eight rounds.
I would like to see Plant. I would really like to see Plant do well. I like Plant a lot. I like his people and everything
he's never fought anybody.
Yeah, but you know, we always say that about people, though.
Nobody fights anybody until they fight somebody.
Yeah, but
you can't go from nobody to the pound for pound one.
That's true,
you know,
too. Yeah, you have to kind of gradually work
your way up. You've got to work into it. Yeah, I don't see a lot of ways Plant can win that fight. I just don't.
No.
Canelo's going to be able to control distance, everything. I mean, he's going to get him.
No, I mean, if you even, like, he keeps, you know, Plant keeps bringing up that Uzagate fight, and he didn't look good in it. He knocked him down twice, and then he saved it in that fight. And Uzagate is nothing special, you know. He's not even ranked in the top, 10 anymore?
I scored that fight 7-5 for Plant. And, like, he had a bad finish to that fight. I think he lost. I think I had him losing, like, the last 4 rounds on my card.
Yeah, I don't know.
He didn't look great in that fight. He had a good start in that fight, but he had a bad finish.
Who's on the undercard for the Wilder Fury fight?
Oh, it's ridiculous. Let me pull that back up here because we went over it earlier here. Berlanga's on that undercard, I believe. Yeah, Berlanga's fighting Marcelo Esteban Caceres. Efe Ajagba, the co-main against Mike Sanchez, that's a good fight. Robert Hellenius versus Adam Konofsky, that's a good fight. It's a good rematch. And Jared Anderson, Ohio Sun, next heavyweight champion versus Vladimir Parashikin, eight rounds heavyweight. Robeson Ramirez on that undercard, Edgar Belanga on that undercard, J-Rock on that undercard, Rancis Bartholomew on that undercard. It's just stacked, son. It's sick.
That's
hopefully
that's
we get to see the entire
here.
Card. Yeah, hopefully
one
we get to see the entire card.
Hang
you know?
Up on, guys. You can talk to more guys driving Amazon trucks. How do you think that Crawford and Porter fight's going to go?
I like Crawford. I've always liked Crawford. I think Crawford's the best one in that division.
Yeah,
I think
the
Crawford,
best in the
I think
division.
Crawford stops him.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be a good fight. I think it's going to be the hardest test of Crawford's career so far.
Oh, I think so, too. I think so, too. It's
under fucking Bob Arum,
yeah,
which hopefully after this fight
I think this will be his last fight under Arum, and I think he leaves. He'd be dumb if he stayed. Wow, he'd be dumb
that's
if he stayed.
Yeah, but he's – what is he now? He's like 33, isn't he?
Is he 33? How old is he, B? 32? No,
Plant?
Crawford.
Crawford, he's about 33.
Yeah.
33, 34.
Yeah.
He's getting up there.
So he's about hitting that 35 mark where you about start to fade.
Yeah.
So he's got to make his move now.
He's turning the corner.
Turning that corner,
turning
that ain't
corner.
Ever good. All right, Chandler, we're going to get moving, man. Thank you so much for calling. 516, actually, Callie King, thank you so much. He said, Eric always cuts my calls. I'll make sure Beeb doesn't hit that button in the future. You know what I mean?
He stops bringing the heat. What do you do? Just like you did with Coach C, you run for the hills.
Oh, man, I murdered Coach C, son. Oh,
Coach
wow.
C,
he probably has nightmares, son, about me giving him the business. That's probably why he don't call no more. He hears the phone ring, and he just starts shaking. You know what I mean? He just gets the shakes every time he hears it. How it works, son. Huh?
That's a falsehood.
That's not a falsehood. Not a falsehood at all, son. It's the way it is. Big difference. Big difference. 516. You're live.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Hey, what's up, man? Who are we speaking with?
I'm speaking with Adonde. First time caller.
Adonde, how are you? What's on your mind tonight?
I just wanted to talk about the Wilder and Fury fight. I know I think that guy Eric in the comment section he did bring up some footage that he saw, and I did happen to see that footage also with Wilder. And I think a lot of guys are like really kind of I think underestimating Wilder in this fight. I mean, just based on what Malik said after the second fight, Wilder's been literally training for probably a year now for this fight. So I'm just thinking a lot of guys are underestimating him. And there's also footage of Fury training also. There's videos out of him training, by the way. I don't know if you guys know, but I don't know. We'll see. I just think that Wilder, to me, he looks a little bit different. He looks a lot lighter on his feet. He does look a little heavy, but, you know, we'll see how the fight goes. I don't know what you guys don't think that he can change within 1 year.
No. I think it's really difficult.
I don't think so.
A couple things. Again, man, Malik Scott, this is his first fight with Wilder. So typically it takes at least a couple of fights to adapt that style. You know what I mean? Or to adapt a new style. But, again, man, he's had 40-some fights. He's fought the same way all 40 fights. He's 36 years old. He's kind of set in his ways. So it's difficult for him. And he may be learning. Like I said, man, he may learn some things. He may even show some wrinkles in the fight of new stuff. But once he gets hit, my guess, again, I don't know. This is all speculation on my part. Once he gets hit, I think he reverts back to what he knows.
I've always thought that's typically
what happens.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong, but I've always thought that just looking at the two fighters, Wilder, to me, is a superior athlete. And I think that if you look at a lot of the training videos, I think Malik's trying to bring out that athleticism that Wilder has, because if you talk about hand speed, you talk about, you know, foot speed, even though Wilder fights a lot, you know, he fights flat-footed, he's a superior athlete if you just look at it. You know, and if he can use his athleticism in the second, in the third fight, I think he beat Fury within 9 rounds. Just
wow.
In and out movement, you know, sidestepping, you know, hand speed. It's all there for him to do it. I mean, can he put it together? I don't know, but I mean, I'm looking at the training videos. Hopefully, after a year, you know, he shows something, but we'll see. Fury, I don't know. I honestly don't think Fury's going to rush Wilder in this fight. I think he's going to box. I don't think he's coming for Wilder.
Wow. Okay. Good deal.
I don't think he's going
to
try to
win. So you're picking Wilder to win. You're picking Wilder to win. Any special way, like knockout
decision?
How do you think it happens?
I think knockout. Probably round 7.
Wow.
Round 8. Something like that.
Wow. So he's going under with the knockouts. The over-under is 9.5 rounds. He's taking it 7, 8 rounds right in there.
Yeah.
Just newly rejuvenated, a lot of jabbing, you know, right hand, left hook. I don't know. We'll see.
All right, man. We will see. Absolutely. Hey, man, listen, I don't hate that pick. I don't hate it, man. Adande, thank you so much for calling. Don't be a stranger, man. Call him back, man. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. That was a good pick. You know, like I said, man, you don't know. You don't. That's why they fight, B. That's why they make the fights.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, we've been wrong. I've been wrong before, you know.
I've rarely been wrong, but, I mean, sometimes it does happen. I mean, lightning does strike. You know, I mean, hey, sometimes somebody hits the lotto. It happens, man.
I mean, you picked Tony Bellew over David Haye. I didn't see that coming.
I'm just saying, you know, yeah.
That was a good pick of you. Usually absolutely. You bet the favorites because you're very conservative.
I'm a very chalk line better, for sure.
You're a chalk better.
All right, let's go to our news and rumors here. All right, let's start off with the big one here. So Teofimo Lopez, let's see here. Triller has actually pulled out of promoting the Lopez-Cambosos fight. This is – I've never heard of this. I've never, like
– First time I've seen it.
This is the absolute first time I've seen it. I've never saw a company, right? Remember, saw a company win a purse bid and then invest all this money in it and just chuck it and say, I'm done. And this happened, man. This is crazy. So Triller's out. They won't be promoting the Lopez-Cambosos fight. Triller has reportedly lost, Beeb, check this out, $10 million between purchasing the fight, promoting this fight, all the promotion that went into it, and The final straw to this whole thing apparently stems from Cambosos not wanting to move the fight to October 16th, which is just a better date. Now, the fight was supposed to happen tomorrow, October 4th. Clearly not going to happen tomorrow. They moved off of this date, and they say, hey, why did you move off of there, or blah, blah, blah. Apparently, you know, there's Monday Night Football going on. There was it could be a one-game playoff with the Yankees, and I'm not paying much attention to baseball, but apparently there's some kind of big game that could happen, whatever.
Yeah.
There was a lot of stuff going on, not to mention it's 1 week out of a Wilder fight, you know.
Kamposis wanted his purse in escrow because he didn't trust Trilla.
Well,
and he wouldn't sign the contract, so that was another issue. And I guess his lawyer is suing Trilla for damages or whatever. And supposedly what's happening is Triller's trying to get that 20% money back from the IBF that they put up for the fight. And if I guess what also has been reported, if they lose, then that money gets divided up to Teofimo Lopez and Kamposis 65-35 split. So I guess they put up like 2.3 million $600, I believe. So that would get divided 65-35 by Kamposis.
Yeah, and they bid 6 million on it. I think they bid 6 million or something.
And they had to put like 20% up. So yeah, so if Kamposis wins, because they file a lawsuit against Trilla, then they're gonna get that money. That's gonna be dispersed to Teofimo and him.
And I had heard that Cambosos wanted some payola for moving that date. He says we want to get paid. Now he wanted to get paid on top of what he got paid. Now what I understand is Trilla that Teofimo said, yeah, I want to get paid too, but I want it advanced. I don't want – he didn't ask for more money. He asked for an advance, and that's a big difference,
yeah,
where Kambosos actually asked for more money. Triller said Kambosos and his team quit responding to them, no-showing a $37,000 airplane flight from Australia to the U.S. on September 29th. It was he was initially demanding $400,000 from Triller to agree to move the fight from October 4th to the 16th. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Listen, you can ask for it, but if you don't get it, you still, to me, you go through with it, but whatever.
Yeah.
Lopez agreed to move the date only for a purse advance, but Kambosos, who's the B-side, wanted to be paid additional money. As a mandatory challenger, he would have gotten a career-high $2.1 million purse. Under the IBF rules in the purse bid, Lopez would have got 65% of that, which means he would have made $3.9 million. Now, Eddie Hearn and Matchroom bid the second highest on this fight. Eddie Hearn was actually asked about this fight. He said he wasn't real excited about it because there's not a lot of buzz in America about it. But he said if the fight happens and he does stage the fight, he can't guarantee, number one, that it'll be a main event, and number two, he said it would happen in November if he does stage it.
Yeah.
But,
it'll get pushed back even further.
Yeah, this isn't good for Teofimo. I'll tell you what, this isn't good for Teofimo. Now, Teofimo has actually went out today or yesterday or I think over the weekend and called out Josh Taylor for a catchweight unification. Teofimo says, you know, we'll put the belts on the line. You put your belts on the line, and we'll have a catchweight fight. This would be, I mean, which sounds great on paper, and it does. I would love to see it. However, if I'm Josh Taylor, and maybe you could speak to this too, if I'm Josh Taylor, there's no way I'm taking that fight.
Well, in order
why would I do a catchweight?
Well, you can't win the titles.
No.
On a catchweight.
Well, that's
so
number one.
You basically have to have Josh Taylor come down to 135. Why in the fuck would you want to do that?
Right. You're the one coming up in weight.
Yeah.
You know, you're the one coming up in weight. That's a silly. Yeah, he's not going to do that. Why?
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
I think Murph said it the best. He said that trying to drain Taylor. He's right. He's 100% right.
Just
you
fight
know?
Fucking Devin Haney.
Fuck. Yeah. He doesn't want to see
someone,
that either.
Someone fight Devin Haney.
Devin Haney is one of the best in that division. I said it. He's second to only Teofimo because Teofimo beat the guy. Listen, man, he's not getting any fights. And then Ryan Garcia, I heard Ryan Garcia was going to fight Jojo Diaz, right? But now that fight's going, that fight may be going by the wayside. He's going to fight some other guy. Who was it that I saw he was going to fight, B? Do you know who, you know what I'm talking about here?
See, I didn't hear this.
Okay, yeah, so Ryan.
I don't put it past him, but go ahead.
Yeah, so Ryan Garcia said he was going to fight Joseph Diaz. Apparently that fight, you know, can happen. That might happen. But Ryan Garcia was also looking at another guy, fighting another guy. And I can't remember who that guy was. But he was looking at fighting like an easier fight than a JoJo because he's been out or whatever. And I thought,
yeah,
man, Gamboa, that's it. That's it. Yoriokas Gamboa, who's like in his 50s.
Jesus Christ.
Right. That was the guy. Thank you so much,
what
JC.
Fuck.
Yeah. Right? He wants to fight Gamboa over Diaz.
Why?
What? For real? Like, is this happening? Am I being punked here? Like, this is for real happening. Like, come on, man. Why would you? If you're Ryan Garcia, come on, man.
What is the deal with Ryan Garcia right now, man?
I don't know, but you know what?
What the fuck is going on with this kid?
But I will tell you this, and I will tell you this. If I'm his promoter, all right, if I'm Ryan Garcia's promoter, I ride with whatever he wants to do. If I'm his promoter, I will ride with whatever he wants to do. If he wants to fight Yoriokas Gamboa, yeah, let him do it. If he wants to fight another, he'll fight another. Give him soft touches. Because I don't believe... You know, listen, man, this is a guy who took off for depression. This is a guy who took off and nothing wrong with depression. But I don't think if he steps in there and this guy, he's not confident to fight Joseph Diaz, dude, like, what are you doing here? He's the money train now. Yeah, and Lennox,
yeah.
Lennox was best. Garcia's on the money train, which means cherry picking. I get it. And so if I'm his promoter, that's what I'm going to do. Because I don't know that this guy can stand up against a Devin Haney. I don't know that this guy can take a Teofimo. You know what I mean? I don't know that he's ready for that kind of guy, especially if, you know, mentally he's not there. He's not confident. So I don't know, man. That's
a problem.
That's a big problem. Let me tell you another big problem here. Our boy, Demetrius Andrade. He's going to fight Jason Quigley on November 19th. This is another guy,
Jesus
man.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, come on, man. Jason Quigley? Jason Quigley. Come on, stop it. That's who this guy is? That's who Andre's going to fight? He's clamoring for all these big fights, and that's who he's going to fight to entice somebody? Come on. That's not a
why
big fight
he,
for
why,
him.
Why can't he fight Chris Eubank Jr.? What the fuck is wrong with that fight?
There's nothing wrong with that fight, and that's a good fight. And they're, you know, and where is Chris Eubank now? Is he in Matchroom? Is he still in? He's not in Matchroom anymore. Is he just a free agent? Is he?
He's with Sauerland Promotions now.
That's right. And it's not Sauerland anymore. It's they got bought out or something like that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I forget something, but
yeah, I forget what the new name is.
Yeah, because I know they were bought out. But I mean, that's another one. That's like Demetrius Andrade, who's got all the talent, all the potential in the world, you know. But again, just you gotta make these fights happen, man. Manny Pacquiao has officially retired. Now, we reported this last week. What he said in a paper or said in an interview or whatever, he said he thinks it might be done. It's time. But this week he's actually made it official and has actually retired. Put out a video and everything like that, thanking everyone and showing some of his highlights and everything. And it was it's good that he's actually retired. I'll be honest with you, man. It's
good. I don't hate that. I think it's a good idea.
Man, I tell you what, our chat set up a big time tonight. Murph, thank you so much. It's Wasser Boxing. He's right. It's Wasser.
Thank you, brother.
You're the man. And our train wreck of the week this week. Bringing it back, Beeb. I'm bringing it back, son.
Yeah, I missed it.
Train wreck of the week this week belongs to none other than Clarissa Shields.
Oh, no. What does she do?
So this moron goes on TMZ, and she did an interview.
Whoa.
And had the following to say about Jake Paul. I wasn't talking blank about Jake Paul yesterday. What I was speaking is facts. Jake Paul gets inside the ring with me, and he's getting whooped. I bet you Jake Paul would get hurt, probably dropped. He could have a newfound respect for me if we spar or fight. I'm not calling Jake Paul out because I know how the world looks at women fighting men. They look at him like, oh, no, ooh. But I spar men daily, and that's the truth. Shut up. Just shut up. I know you spar men daily. I get it. Listen, but if you're not calling out Jake Paul, why are you calling out Jake Paul? We know this is what you're doing. I get it. Everybody gets it. And she would not be able to hang with a guy like Jake Paul. She just wouldn't. I don't care. He's strong. He's too big. He's too strong. You're not going to be able to hang with that guy in a real fight. Listen, there are weight classes, and there's divisions for a reason. They have a women's division for a reason. Because if they were just as good, they would put them in the men's division.
Correct.
Power. It's a big equalizer.
Why even say it when you know it's not going to happen?
Right,
Same thing like people saying Ronda Rousey could beat Floyd Mayweather. I mean, enough. Come on.
Stop it. She couldn't beat Floyd Mayweather in a cage. There's levels to this stuff, man. He's a big guy. Strength-wise. If you wrestled a girl, could a girl pin you?
Some girls could.
Yeah. I was in jiu-jitsu. I got choked out by a girl. I don't like to talk about that.
I'm 52 years old, man. I mean,
yeah, that's what I. Yeah, I'm up there too. You know, I was like, talk about that though.
I'm many years out of my prime.
That's true. I'm out of my prime too. I don't even know if I had a prime, Beeb. Be honest with you.
I had a prime, but it kind of went by without me even realizing.
Oh man! All right, area code 805. You're live.
Hey guys, what's up?
Wake up. How's it going,
you
buddy?
You got started already, Beeb? Come on. Really?
I said, how you doing, buddy?
He started with Robert early. He's starting with you.
Yeah, I know. Beeb's just
going,
salty. Cause
how you been?
Beeb's just salty because Tom Brady's going to put it on his Patriots tonight. So he's starting to take it out on everybody early.
Nachi, you want to hear something crazy? A lot of people from Boston, they root for Tampa Bay now because of Brady.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, a lot of people want the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win tonight.
See, we ride with our team, don't we, Nacho? We ride with our team.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't turn coat like those people in Boston do.
Yeah.
We roll with our teams.
Exactly.
Ride or die, son.
Yeah. Real quick, you guys were talking about the whole fiasco with Cambosos and Lopez. And just to add, yeah. Dan Rafael even put out on Twitter yesterday that apparently Lopez was so desperate for Cambosos to agree to the new date, he agreed to pay him out of his own purse. He said he was willing to give him $150,000 out of his own money to get him to agree to the new date, and Cambosos still didn't do it. So to me, this just feels kind of like it was just an extortion ploy by Cambosos, thinking that he had all the leverage and it backfired on him, and now he gets nothing. Now he goes from making $2 million to making zero. So at
biggest
this
payday
point,
of
he
his
overplayed.
Career. Biggest
yeah, he overplayed.
Payday of his career, and this idiot blew it.
Yeah,
he
overplayed
you know
his hand.
You know what?
Yeah.
He ain't never going to get it again. He ain't never going to get a payday like this again. Never.
Mm-hmm.
That was
yeah.
dumb. That
yeah,
was just
it was
dumb.
Stupid.
It's one thing to ask for the money, but then to try to die on that hill for that money and then just have these guys drop the promotion, now you're just out. That was dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. That was that's the wrong that like you said, it's stupid to die on a hill when you knew you weren't going to get that kind of money, and he should have taken Teofimo yep. up on his offer. $150,000's nothing to sneeze
yeah.
at on top of his money. So I mean he still would have made out okay, but that was just stupid. But oh well, I mean like you guys have said, this has been a clown show since the beginning. So if it doesn't happen, then it is what it is. With Eubank didn't even fight yesterday because they said his opponent failed his pre-fight physicals, so he didn't even get to fight at all yesterday. And now they're talking about
that's what I said.
Yeah, and now he's going to fight again, I guess, or they're going to try to get him another opponent soon. So, you know, that guy, talk about a career that's died on the vine. That guy could have been a lot better than he has been, but he's just been – you know, living off his father's name for the last, like, 6-7 years, and he really hasn't done anything with his career since. And then the Quigley, you guys were talking about Quigley and Andre. I'm sorry, I don't have any sympathy for Andre at this point anymore.
No,
you know, you're sitting there calling, you're sitting out there saying people are ducking you, you're sitting people saying people are dodging you and nobody wants to fight you. But then you get these fights where you know he's making seven figures to fight these guys, and then he's going to sit there and then turn around and then play like he's the victim. Like oh, my God, like, you know, you should feel bad for me because nobody wants to fight me. No, we don't feel bad for you because you're still making seven figures fighting these tomato cans and these journeymen that you're taking on each and every time you go out there. So, you know, at this point to me, Andre's the boy who cried wolf. Like, the guy just constantly whines and moans, but he's never done anything with his own career to actually have to have guys, you know, be forced to fight him. You know, he's always just bitched and moaned when he didn't get what he wanted. So at this point, you know, he is who he is, and that's not going to change. And I think a lot of people are starting to see it. And then as far as the fight this weekend, I just don't see – I mean, people can say whatever they want about these videos that Wilder and his team keep putting out. I just don't think the guy learned how to box in the last, you know, year and a half well enough to outbox Fury. And I just think Fury is going to go in there and he's just going to do a number all over Wilder again. I think he stops him in, like, 8 rounds this time and just finally puts this trilogy to bed, which is what a lot of us want to see, because we want to see new matchups be made instead of waiting for matchups like this that have just been dragging out now for 2 years. I mean, you know, this has been a long time to get this third fight already. So we just need to get it done and over with this weekend and you know, move on. And yeah, that's pretty much my call, guys.
There you go.
Talk to you guys next week.
All right, Nacho. Good call as always. Shane Mosley Jr., Beeb. Shane Mosley Jr. is the biggest name on Jason Quigley's record. Shane Mosley. Come on, guys. They can do better than that. They can do much better. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I like it. Beeb, off topic, completely off topic.
Sure. Hit me with it.
$650 million for that Powerball. It was $630 last night. I played it. I didn't hit one number. Not one.
Yeah.
Not one. B, do you play the Powerball?
We did it at work as a team.
Yeah.
We made like $24.
Nobody hits that thing. It's like the running. It's like the old days when they were running numbers. Nobody hit that thing, man.
I get sick of it, man.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
$650 million. But what would you do with $650 million?
Get a nice mansion. Probably upgrade the Beebmobile. Call up Halle Berry, see if she's down to hang out now that I'm a millionaire.
I think she'd probably be down.
Probably open up some type of management company, maybe. Manage fighters.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
What else would I do? Maybe invest in some real estate, buy some apartment buildings.
I think that's where I would go. I think I would go into real estate.
Yeah.
I would try to buy houses or buy, like, vacation spots and then just rent them out because I think you could probably make a lot of money like that.
I'd get us a new studio. Get us a studio, like, maybe in maybe I'd get us a studio in Connecticut or New York or something. Fly you down here in the Beeb Jet.
The Beeb Jet. I like the Beeb Jet. We would have to upgrade the Beeb Jet, no?
Upgrade the Beeb Jet, too. Get Lois some new clothes.
Yeah. We'd rent Lois out by the hour. Start, like, an escort service with Lois.
Don't say that.
People. You know what I mean?
Please.
What?
Human resources.
I'm trying to think about ways to make money, and you're over here, no, we can't do that. I don't understand.
Human resources is not going to like this.
I didn't even say nothing. I'm just trying to make money. You know what I mean?
You can't defame these women like this, please.
I did. No, what she can, wow. So she's not good enough to have her own escort service? That's messed up. If anything, HR should get on you for that, man. That
she's
is
a classy
up.
Woman.
That's
she's
one of the most messed up things I've ever heard you say.
And we can give Lois a raise, too. Give her better benefits.
I can give her a raise.
Slow it down, please.
I didn't say nothing. She's a blow-up doll. What are you going to do?
Probably. You know what else I'd do? Buy some Amazon stock.
Amazon. Yep. That stock's a lot of money, isn't it? It's like, isn't it? Or is Tesla? No, Tesla's like $700.
There was a time when my friend wanted to buy it, like when it was $25 a share.
You blew him off.
No, you know what happened? He got money. He's getting married, and he got money for the wedding from his wife's parents. And she wanted to have, like, this big, elaborate wedding. And he told her, why don't we just have a quiet wedding? We can invest this money in the stock market. She wasn't trying to hear it.
Wow.
And to this day, he still says it to her. Like, imagine if we invested in Amazon, how much money we would have.
Wow. That's jacked up, boy.
Yeah.
Some ladies like the party, man. What are you going to do?
He got a good amount of money for the wedding. It was a very expensive wedding, yeah.
Yeah, JC said it's like $3,500. That's what I thought, too. Yeah. That's what I thought, too.
Yeah.
Hamza Tariq said crypto is the next big thing. Bitcoin's another one that's way out there. And then you got, what was that other one, Dogecoin or whatever? That just goes up and down.
Yeah.
But never reached a dollar, I don't believe. It's like a penny stock.
I'd like to manage some fighters, though.
Would you? Yeah. I think it'd be such a headache to do that. I would just
take property. Probably would be a headache.
I can't even imagine what a headache that would be.
Would be kind of a headache, huh?
Yeah. I would still do real estate, like vacation spot real estate.
Maybe I'll rethink that.
Yeah, don't you rethink that before you hit the Powerball. All right.
Yeah.
All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And, guys, we will catch you guys next week.
Go ahead. Thing
yes.
Before you go, I'm sorry to cut you off. just want to let everyone know that the Thursday's roundtable will be on Ringside Reporter this week at 8 p.m. Eastern time. So make sure you join us at the roundtable.
Yeah, make sure.
This Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Sorry, Eric, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, no, not at all. That was good stuff. All right, guys. Yeah, tune in Thursday, and then, of course, tune in Sunday at 6 o'clock for our usual. But, yeah, this Thursday, 8 o'clock, guys. Make sure you catch it. The Roundtable is a great show, too. So
yeah, I enjoy the Roundtable.
Absolutely. It's great. So it's great when Beeb's not on it, but otherwise it's usually pretty good.
The best when I host it. I've become bilingual since I've been on HTP.
Oh, you have, huh? You can order a Taco Bell pretty fluently.
Whoa! That's stereotype. Well, we can't accuse you of stereotyping because you're Mexican.
Right. See, that's why I'm Mexican for the jokes. All right, there you go.
Right.
All right, guys.
Enjoy, guys.